Hour number two of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we go to the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, for a very special guest.
Yes, we're pleased now to be joined by our longtime friend, Brett McMurphy. He is with the Stadium Network, and he has covered college football for many, many years. Brett, how are you?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Hope everything's good and you're staying safe there in Knoxville.
Well, we have been so far. What about you? How are you occupying your time?
Well, before I answer, have you seen the Tiger King on Netflix?
Yes, I have, actually.
I live 5 miles from Big Cat Rescue, so I'm still alive.
No.
I haven't been knocked off by Carol Baskin, so everything's good. But, yeah, just staying out of trouble. And fortunately, in Tampa, we got some nice weather, so we're able to, you know, get outside and walk around a little bit and not be cooped up in the house all day.
I'm just wondering why Tom Brady rented a house from Derek Jeter and not you.
Well, it's about 10 times bigger for one reason, but yeah, that's a beautiful house. I'm sure you saw my tweet, but yeah, I did a story on that for the New York Times several years ago when Jeter built the house, and Brady's new house that Jeter owns, I guess now that he's with Miami, no longer with the Yankees and in Tampa all the time. But it's if you guys have Best Buy electronics stores up there, it's basically got the same square footage as your average Best Buy store. So not
wow.
Bad if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Brett, I want to ask you about a story you did recently. You had a survey of athletic directors. I think there were 130 of them that were polled. 112 responded. About a fifth of them indicated that they think there's at least a 50% chance we won't have football this season. That's going to be, and one of them, I guess, said dire consequences if that occurs. This is going to be devastating to a lot of athletic departments if we don't have college football, isn't it?
Yes, it will, Jimmy. And, you know, that survey was done, now it's almost been 2 weeks ago. So just think of everything that's changed in the past 2 weeks. We've had Wimbledon canceled. We've had, there's reports of British Open has been canceled. Ohio State and other schools have canceled on-campus classes in the summer. So, there's a great deal of fear and concern that there won't be a full 12-game football season. But what I wrote today was if the season does not start on time, what are some of the options to still save a football season? And that varies from playing a conference-only schedule to, if you have to start the season in October or November, continuing it is even into March. We could have a football version of March Madness. And then if we don't have football at all in the fall, some AD said, look, we'll play in the spring. And if we do that, we'd have the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl. The semifinal games for the college football playoff could be around Memorial Day. You guys would have laughed at me a few weeks ago if I brought that up. But now, based on the way everything's going, that could be a very real possibility. And the last thing is the most frustrating thing for everybody involved, the commissioners, the ADs, the coaches, obviously. Nobody knows when we're going to get the all-clear signal.
Right.
When are we going to get the green light to move ahead and go? And until we get that, whatever that is, whether it's a magic bullet that cures this thing or whatever the situation is where life can somewhat return to normal, we can't even think of having a college football season, and that's what's so frustrating for all these people.
When you see that there are a number of major sporting events as far down the road as July being canceled, does that cast a greater doubt on whether we will have college football?
It does, Jimmy, and this is strictly my opinion. This is not based on what any of the athletic directors told me. But I don't think we're going to have a football season in the fall. And it's for one simple reason. I don't think when we get to August that the university presidents at all these colleges are going to say, okay, we'll say Tennessee, for example. Are they really going to say, okay, all 30, 40,000, whatever the enrollment is there, all of the students from all over the world that go to Tennessee, it's safe. Come back on campus, take your classes. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's going to be the norm everywhere. I think they'll have online classes only in the fall at these major universities. And if you can't have the student body on campus, you can't have the student athletes on campus. And if they're not on campus, how do you have a football season? I do think, though, if we can get the all clear by December or January, then we would have a season in the spring. Would that be conference-only games? Would that be a 12-game schedule? I mean, all that stuff would have to be figured out. But, yeah, Jimmy, the more things get canceled, again, I pray I'm wrong. I just don't think the way these presidents are, they're going to take that risk to allow all these students back on the campus. And also, there was a group of five president, a source told me, and this was 2 weeks ago. So if you can go back 2 weeks, things were a lot different. Not a lot, but they weren't as dire as they seem to be now. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, a group of five president told another group of five president, let's cancel the football season right now and move it to the spring. So if they were thinking that 2 weeks ago, you know, what are they going to be thinking in the next few months? That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Brett, certainly appreciate your time, and it's good to talk to you once again. I will say another thing, and that's really something and worth considering when you think about what makes up the student body for each and every Power Five university, that they do come from far and wide and some from other countries. And then you also think to just the expansion that we went through several years ago now, where the SEC expanded to 14 teams as other conferences did, like the Big Ten and so on. But you think you could wind up where out of a 14-team conference, you could have eight states, or I should say five states, where things look to be promising, but you could also have three states that have conference members that are still considered to be hot spots or an uphill battle. And I think that's also something that would really gum up the works of just things trying to move forward with any approach to a campaign, don't you think?
You are 1,000% right. I mean, we'll say that, you know, specifically we'll say the SEC. What if nine schools are like, hey, we're good to go. We're having our students back on campus. Let's go. And then you've got five other universities that are like, hey, look, we're shutting it down. No students on campus in the fall. So what does the SEC do? They can't force those five schools to play. So do they tell the other nine schools, look, we're not playing because the entire conference can't play? Do they only let those nine schools compete? I mean, then it gets really crazy. And you're right. I think that the conferences want to do things. They want to do the same thing. But basically, you may have a situation where some schools are like, hey, it's safe. We're good to go. And others are like, hey, we're not doing this. You know, our students are coming back until January. And then as a league, what do you do? I don't know the answer to that. It would get real sticky and real messy. But that could be a very real possibility. You're absolutely right on that.
Do you think, because it was considered that, I mean, for instance, Greg Sankey spoke to that it might at first be an institution-by-institution practice as to whether or not they hold spring practice, and then everybody, of course, shut it down. But do you think that we would potentially see any college football without fans being a part of it?
Well, I don't think so. I think it's doubtful, because I'm just basing that on if we can't have fans in the stands, then how are we going to have 30,000 students on campus? Mm-hmm. If we can have 30,000 students on campus, then you should be able to have fans in the stands. So I would say it's doubtful. But, you know, again, you never know. If that's a safety precaution they want to take to get football games in, then absolutely they'll do it. But I kind of think those two things together, kind of go together. Sorry to be surprised if that happened. But, again, it was funny. After my article posted this morning, you know, on watchstadium.com, I had a Power 5 coach text me, because one of the possibilities is splitting the football season over two semesters. And he's like, you can't play football over two semesters. Kids, you know, the eligibility is different. That gets into the recruiting season and all this. And I said, well, that's just one of the possibilities. What I wanted to tell him is, look, this, forget everything you know in the past about recruiting schedules and dead periods and spring practices and summer workouts and, you know, dates that you report. That's all out the window. This is unprecedented times. And we're going to have to do things differently. And if that means playing over two semesters, if that means they only have, you know, 4 weeks to practice, if that means we're playing before no fans, whatever it is, they're going to do whatever they can necessary to get this season in because they've got to somehow recoup some of this football revenue that they also desperately need.
Our guest, Brett McMurphy of the Stadium, he's been nominated for two Pulitzer Prize awards in reporting for investigative reporting. Brett, I do want to ask you in regard to one comment I saw from an athletic director, quote, most Power 5 athletic departments won't miss a beat, but it'll be devastating for the rest of us. Do you think that is an accurate statement?
Well, it's definitely devastating for the group of five.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Power 5, I don't think all the Power 5s are, like, out of the woods. I mean, I think, obviously, a Tennessee, an Alabama, a Texas, a USC. I think those guys are going to be okay. Look, everybody's going to take some hits, but they're going to be at different levels. I mean, just yesterday, Iowa State AD Jamie Pollard announced that his coaching staff would not get raises in the next year. They would also not be eligible for any incentive bonuses, and they did that to save $4 million over the next year. And that's a Power 5 school already, you know, trying to trim their costs. So it's going to impact schools a lot differently. Obviously, the big name schools in the Power 5, you know who they are. You know, it's not going to hurt them as much because they have more resources, they have more money. But some of the smaller Power 5s, all of the group of 5s, and also, you know, the FCS schools, these guys are really going to get dinged too because a lot of them, you know, they depend on that one game road trip to a Power 5 team for $1 million payday, and that's basically their budget for the entire year. You know, one scenario is we don't play any non-conference games. Well, if that happens, then that payday goes away. So, you know, Jimmy, I think everybody's going to be impacted in some ways. It's going to be on different levels based on, obviously, the resources and the different universities. So, yeah, I don't think it's clear-cut that all Power 5s are going to come out of this without any damage, if you will.
And if we don't have the football revenue, that means there could be a number of sports that are not going to be able to field a team, correct?
Well, not field a team, they'll just eliminate them. I mean, that's the reality of it. That sucks, but that's, you know, other than football and, you know, there's a handful or maybe a dozen, two dozen maybe, basketball schools that generate revenue, every other college sport loses money. So if the athletic director goes to the president's office and says, hey, you know what, instead of $90 million in revenue, we're only getting $50 million, we're only getting $40 million. And she's like, okay, well, where can we cut $50 million? And he's like, well, if we cut sports A through G, that'll save us $30 million. So then the president has to decide, do I really want to cut soccer, wrestling, you know, volleyball, baseball, gymnastics, crew, whatever. Do we want to really cut all these to save $40 million, or do we need to keep these opportunities available for student athletes? That's some of these hard decisions that these presidents and athletic directors are going to make. And I think, yeah, you're right, Jimmy, that we're going to see some of these sports. They used to be club sports 20 years ago, and now they're NCAA sports. I think these sports will go away. Could it be for 1 or 2 years, or could it be permanently? It's going to kind of depend on each institution.
Hmm. Brett, as we continue to say one day to the next, it's unprecedented. It's a very different time. But from your vantage point, what is it like to see some student athletes do what they can to lend a helping hand? You've got Trey Smith at the University of Tennessee that's voicing PSAs to say stay home, stay at home, stay safe. And then you also look at just the incredible effort of somebody like Trevor Lawrence to help raise money with a goal of raising $1 million to help with COVID-19 relief. What is it like to see the active side of student athletes in trying to help out and just create awareness?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that is so awesome. And I try to retweet those type of things because it seems like there always is so much doom and gloom. But Sam Ellinger, the Texas quarterback, he's also on social media trying to raise funds to help people. You know, it's just great. I mean, it just shows, you know, unfortunately, all the headlines are the coaches that, you know, commit violations or get fired or just do different things like that. And there's so much good involved with college athletics And especially now, a time of need, you see, you know, those players like you mentioned, Trey and Trevor and Sam doing that. And I think that's great. And then, you know, I mean, it's not, it's similar but different, but, you know, Wyoming's athletic director the other day announced that he voluntarily is taking a 10% pay cut until January 1st to help the university out. And he's going to donate more money to the school's athletic fund. So you see stuff like that. And yeah, it's unfortunate that stuff didn't get more airtime or more play, but that's really, really cool, especially, you know, when you see, the student athletes doing that. You know, that's really special. And, you know, that means a lot. It makes me think a lot more of those guys. And, you know, look, we're not supposed to root for teams or players, but when I see guys do that, you know, I'm guilty. I root for them to have all the success in the world.
Our guest, Brett McMurphy, the stadium. Brett, I did want to touch on your preseason top 25 team. How close were you to putting Tennessee in it?
I think I had them, gosh, that's so long ago. I can't remember who was in it. I think I had them in like 26 to 35 range. I didn't really rank those people, but I had them as teams like that I was considering when I put in. Whoever I put in 25th, you'd have to remind me if you have it in front of you. But
Ole Miss.
I had a Ole Miss. Okay. I put Ole Miss 25th. Jeez, I need to update that.
higher or lower?
I'd try lower. You know, yeah, I don't know. Look, you do that. I actually did that thing. It ran, I think, before the actual national title game kicked off. You know, you don't want to. You don't want to be the last one to put out those way too early preseason polls. But, you know, I think that, you know, the way Tennessee ended the season, that's obviously encouraging for the upcoming year. You know, the deal is, though, now that, you know, again, if we don't start on time, it looks like we're not going to start on time. And if we don't start on time, we have a delayed season or it gets moved back to spring. You kind of throw all that stuff out the window. I mean, I know a lot of people that are into gambling, they're already – you see these people putting out these lists. Hey, these are the play-on teams because they got all their spring practice in, or these are the play-against teams because they've got a first-year coach and they couldn't have spring practice. So, you know, it's sad that that's the thing people are going to look at, but, you know, obviously the positives for Tennessee was the strong finish last year, and, you know, it's just, you know, depending on when the season is, I'm sure it's going to help some schools. It's going to hurt some schools. It's just how can these coaching staffs and student athletes deal with this adversity and something they've never experienced before. Certainly the fact that Jeremy Pruitt's not a first-year coach is obviously, I think, a benefit over somebody like a Mike Leach at Mississippi State or Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, because they've got their players, you know, they're sitting there saying, if they didn't get all their work in, they're going, what do we do exactly? I know how we did it with the previous staff. How do they want things done? They can't practice. I know they're doing virtual meetings and all that stuff, but it's not the same thing as the day-to-day contact. So, you know, it's going to be a crazy year. And if you're somebody that tries to make predictions and actually tries to be accurate, I think it's going to be, you know, twice as hard because of all the unknowns and how this impacts everybody.
One other quick one. You had LSU number 3 in the preseason poll that I saw. Is that a vote of confidence for Miles Brennan or Ed Orgeron?
That was a Joe Brady hadn't left yet.
Okay.
So I would drop him. Yeah, Brady was still on board. We had a number of guys that had not officially left for the NFL. I do think LSU is going to be okay. I think a lot of people expect them to maybe fall off the face of the earth. I don't buy that. But yeah, I would certainly now I would drop them from 3. But at the time, I wasn't projecting who I thought was staying or going. I was just, you know, who I knew was there at that time. Right. So obviously Joe Brady, I think that's going to be a big hit. Losing them. And then I actually had Clemson number 1, and that was with thinking that Travis Etienne would go to the NFL, and he actually stuck around. So
right.
I'm definitely going to leave Clemson up there at the top.
Hey, Brett, so good to catch up with you. Thank you so much. You do a terrific job. Always have admired what you've been able to do, and thank you for taking the time to visit with us.
You got it. I'd say I hope to see you at SEC Media Days, but I'm afraid I'm afraid we're not going to have them. So hopefully I'll see you again somewhere down the road.
Yeah, they've already canceled them. Yeah.
Well, not the spring meetings, the actual meeting.
Oh, the football meeting days. Gotcha. Sorry. Yeah, I hope that.
Yeah.
I hope the same. Hey, Brett, thank you so much. Yeah. We appreciate it.
And that you got is, it. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. Brett McMurphy with the stadium does an outstanding job. We appreciate his time.